You're listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com.
Junior, where's that hamburger?
The police cruiser Apprehension had just come out of lightspeed, and once again there was no ship. They hadn't sent their coordinates back to Bomda, so no one would know where they were. Worst case scenario, they'd think he was on silent patrol. GCP Central Office was going to take far too long getting back. Those criminals would be long gone. Junior huffed and puffed as he stopped with the glass wobbling in his hands. This was his fourth trip. Four would be enough. BT Justice took a seat in the center of the bridge for the first time since the chase began. He placed the glass and the holder on the armrest.
Sir, remotes are returning to the ship. We're processing the data now.
Fine.
He knew what it would reveal. They'd come to a point where seven different ship signatures went in seven different directions. This was a crafty one, he was, but he'd landed on Bomda with a valid ship number. Sheriff Justice was ready for the news.
Sir, all remotes report that all trails end with no trace of the ship. In fact, all end in the middle of space with no stars anywhere in sight.
This was a crafty captain indeed.
Did they use radar at the end of each trail?
Yes, sir. Radar detected nothing and no further sign of any ships jumping to light speed. I'm thinking we lost them.
What did I tell you about thinking?
Sorry, sir.
The dejected officer turned his chair around to face his counsel.
I want the home port coordinates of each ship signature we've been following. I want descriptions of each ship and its present whereabouts.
The clattering of fingers on keyboards filled the bridge. That's what he wanted, his crew working frantically to solve the problem he already knew the answer to. He knew it was the first ship signature they were following, the SS Acid Rat. What a pathetic name for a ship. No longer did he want to just sit by and see the crew in shackles and the computer's memory wiped. No, now he wanted to see that ship blown out of the sky. But he wasn't going to do that. If he blasted the ship, it would also set off the highly unstable shipment of Tenindrium. There was a reason that only select ships carried the cargo off Bomda. It was a safety precaution. The load of Tenindrium they were carrying, nearly 75,000 tons, was enough to blow a star apart. As sheriff, he wasn't about to let that happen. He was going to find that ship and demand that the GCP Central Office adjust its standards to allow him to pursue anyone taking Tenindrium off-planet in an unauthorized ship. He just had to catch that ship first.
Sir, the only valid ship number is designated 6-9-4-Alpha-Epsilon-9-2-Zeta. The ship is the SS Acid Rat and is homeported out of Munchkata system.
The officer paused in his report.
Sir, isn't that dangerously close to the...
BT Justice stood and turned around quickly.
Yes, it's dangerously close to the black hole, to the Eye of God, as so many like to call it. That is precisely why a ship like the SS Acid Rat would choose it as a home port. No one in their right mind would dare go near it in fear of losing their ship. That is exactly where we are going to go.
Sir? Daddy?
He let Junior get away with that one. There was more he had to say.
Gentlemen, we are going to lay a trap for this culprit. As soon as he gets home, we will be there waiting for him. Set course for Munchkata.
Joey allowed himself to be led down the hallway. The cockpit where Argmon sat must be the front of the ship. As quickly as Vic had gotten to him in the passageway, Joey must have arrived somewhere in this passage. Vic stopped at the end.
This here is the kitchen where June put you until things were safer.
Vic pointed to the kitchen. Joey didn't even want to think about food right now. He was too nervous. The way Vic had been responding to questions just wasn't right. It wasn't the way a normal person would have responded.
And on the other side is one of the bunk rooms. This one is usually mine, but people can sleep wherever they want. I'm not big on the whole, this is my space, so if you want this room, take it.
Aren't there any doors?
Only on the bathroom. Why? You got a thing for doors?
No reason, just asking. Thought it was a little strange there were no doors.
Would you want to be stuck on a ship behind a locked door? Doors are for emergencies only.
That did make sense. I guess not.
Now, watch your step on these stairs. They're steeper than they look.
Vic took hold of the rails with his hands and slid down the staircase. It was closer to being a ladder than a staircase, but it appeared to be permanently attached, so they must be stairs. Joey took a tentative step down. The slope was steep, and the steps were small. He decided to turn around and go down like he was on a ladder. It was tight, also. Joey wondered if he was claustrophobic.
He didn't panic and kept breathing. When he got to the bottom, he had to assume that he wasn't. The bottom of the passage continued straight. Vic was already walking, his boots clanging on the deck. "Here's more rooms. They're smaller down here. I think this ship was built with a captain and crew in mind. Just pick a bed and sleep in it. You may want to make sure the Jupnop wasn't sleeping in one before you crawl in. I sure hope he changes into something less messy next time he eats. On the other side here, you'll probably end up spending most of your spare time. It's the lounge." The room was large and had several seats that looked quite comfortable. A machine that looked suspiciously like a vending machine sat against the far wall. No one was in the room. Joey looked all around the room. Video screens displayed different programs. One looked like news being read by a blue man with large orange sores on his face. "If you're looking for the bathroom, it's on the other side with the bunks. It's nothing big and nothing special, but when you gotta go, it's there."
"Where's everybody else? I thought you said there was a crew."
"The rest are probably down in the cargo area."
"Who else is in the crew?"
Let's see. There's Dexter. He's short, but don't underestimate him. He doesn't talk a lot either. Actually, I've never really heard him talk.
"Hey, Vic!"
June came up a set of stairs. Joey didn't notice where they went. He only noticed June. Now that his brain was finally his own, he could finally talk to her coherently. She frowned when she saw him.
"Hello, Joey."
"Hi."
"Still stuck on that one-word response, eh? I thought you'd be over that by now."
Vic laughed and slapped Joey on the back. "The kid is over it. I think he's just a little shy."
"I'm not shy." June smiled. "So, you can talk. I'm glad to know it."
"Hey, June, you got a minute? Joey and I need to talk with you. I thought if you shared your story with him, the rest wouldn't come as such a blow."
"You told me your story and still thought I was going to go insane."
Joey tuned out of the conversation for a moment. Vic had said something about not being able to go home. June was talking about going insane when she found out about what was going on. Vic didn't seem bothered by any of it. What was going to come as a blow?
"Hey," Joey interrupted. "I need to know what's going on, and I need to know now."
Vic and June both looked at Joey. Vic motioned for them all to go into the lounge. "Take a seat, kid. You're going to want to be sitting down for this."
Joey sat in a large couch that instantly conformed to his body.
It was possibly the most comfortable thing he'd ever sat in. It was like being in a beanbag, the one back in his room, but somehow more comfortable. Vic and June sat in chairs across from him.
"June, I think you should tell him how you got here first. Then I can explain everything else. You want a beer before we get started, kid?"
A beer? Not even his own father had invited him to drink a beer. Joey hadn't even thought of drinking one.
I'm only 18.
"Old enough to vote, right?"
"Yeah."
"Old enough to serve in the army, right?"
"Well, yes."
"Then you're old enough to drink a beer."
Vic got up and quickly went to what Joey thought of as the vending machine and hit one of the buttons three times. He handed beers all around and then sat back down.
"Let's hear it, babe."
June rolled her eyes.
"All right."
She adjusted herself slightly.
"I grew up next door to old woman Elsa. That's what we called her."
"Mom, I'm going out for a while."
June actually had no intention of going further than her neighbor's yard, but her mom didn't need to know that. She had Madonna playing in her Sony Walkman, and before she could hear her mother's reply, she had put the headphones on and was out the door. With the headphones on, June was certain she sounded exactly like Madonna. She didn't turn to the right to go immediately to her destination. Instead, she turned to the left and went next door to her friend's house. Tonight, they were going to find out for sure what happened. Her friend Jennifer Gomez bounded out the back door even before June could take a step up the walkway. She was dressed in a black puffy miniskirt with a hot pink top with torn-off sleeves. Her hair was teased and hairsprayed so high June wanted to warn her to stay away from any matches.
"Like, this is going to be so totally cool. I love that little jacket. It must have been murder to get those sleeves rolled up like that."
Jennifer had recently seen the movie Valley Girl and was using every other phrase possible from the movie as well as the style. June wasn't going to be distracted by talk of clothes, even though she was proud to have finally rolled up the sleeves on her dad's old houndtooth checked blazer.
"Jen, can you believe it? I actually saw where she keeps the keys. I think I can snag it if you can distract her." "Really? Like, no way. That is, like, totally awesome."
They walked down the block away from their target. June wanted to approach the house on the side opposite their own houses.
"So, do you think, like, there's bodies and stuff in the garage?"
"I don't know, but I've got my dad's Polaroid in my purse, and if there is, we'll get pictures of it."
"I'm, like, so totally excited."
June put her headphones on. The Valley Girl talk was already getting old. She was able to tune out the inane babble of her friend only until she heard her say,
"So, like, June, do you, like, totally think she, like, killed them?" June took her headphones off. That's what my parents say. They've been living on this block since I was born. They say the husband disappeared first. Then a few weeks later, the son. The police investigated but never found any bodies or anything, so both cases were eventually dropped. They say she refused to let anyone into the garage, and the police, seeing how grief-stricken she was, didn't push for a search warrant. They searched the house and everything, but never found a trace of violence. Dang, so like 20 years ago she like killed her husband, and like 10 years ago she like killed her son?
Math was never one of Jennifer's strong suits.
Close enough. Aren't those bodies going to be like all dead and nasty and stuff? We just need pictures, that's it. Then we can go to the police and finally everyone will know the truth. So, like, you're going to have that little old lady arrested? She's not that old, and if she's a killer, I don't want to live next door to her another day.
June had enough of all the rumors at school. Even though she was 17 now, she was still teased about living next door to a killer, like it was some sort of disease that would rub off on her. Boys never asked her out on dates. Other girls, except Jen, had shunned her at school. Enough was enough. She was going to get proof one way or another that old woman Elsa was or was not a killer. The two had gone all the way around the block. They were approaching the house. The killer's house. The house where one woman lived alone with the memory of what happened to her husband and son. The woman who would be found guilty or absolved before the night was over.
You remember what to do? June asked Jennifer. Like, so totally. I'm going to give you time to go to the back door. Then I ring the front doorbell. You grab the key and I run around out back. She moves really slowly, so give her lots of time. So, like, do you think she hurt herself killing them or something? Jen, just get ready. I'm going.
Jen brightened up. It really bothered June that her best friend had gone from acting so smart to acting like a total ditz after seeing one movie. She was never going to be like that. No way. The back of the house was dark. The only light came from the kitchen. There, just as June had suspected, was the old woman Elsa. Just like every other night, she was sitting at the small table, sipping tea. Elsa's head popped up, as if she was surprised. June hadn't heard it, but Jen must have rung the doorbell. Slowly, Elsa got up and started walking toward the front room. This was the chance June had been waiting for. She rushed toward the back door. Night after night, from her bedroom window, she'd watched Elsa come to the back door and grab a key. June's heart raced as she touched the doorknob. This was just a little old lady. Surely she couldn't kill her or her friend, right? She was old and slow. She kept telling herself this over and over as she turned the knob and pushed the door ever so slightly open. She paused just long enough to listen. Nothing. June pushed the door open and saw next to the back door hanging on the wall a wooden box. June opened it. It was full of keys. Dozens. Which one was the right one? She didn't have time for this. The old woman would surely be at the front door by now and possibly heading back. June liked having a head, and all she could think about was Elsa cutting it off and hiding the body in the garage. You're it. The keys each had a sliver of tape over a smaller sliver of paper with letters. One said garage. She swiped the key, closed the box, slipped out the back door, and closed it quietly behind her. Jen startled her as both pushed in behind the same bush in the backyard.
How'd it go? I got it. That totally rocks. Now what do we do?
We've got to wait for her to go to bed. Then we can go into the garage.
Look, there's, like, no way I'm going into that, like, garage.
That's fine. I can do it myself. Look, she's back. We need to keep our voices down. Jennifer lowered her voice to a whisper.
I'm going to go back home. Just being here in this yard is like giving me the creeps. Jen, you can't leave me here. I so totally can. You only wanted me to help you get that key. You got it. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to sit here in a bush all night in my new outfit waiting for old woman Elsa to realize that you took it and come out here and kill us.
Jen stood up to leave.
I'm sorry. But...
Jen got up and left. June was crestfallen. Her best friend had bailed on her at the worst possible time. Just up and left, leaving her high and dry. That was so uncool. There was no way June was going to leave, though. She was here for one reason, and she was determined, even if her friend wasn't. Jen had been teased some, but being so much prettier and bubblier, she had been able to shrug off most of it. June wasn't so lucky, and this was her only hope of salvation from this torment. Elsa was at the sink.
She must be washing the dishes.
Elsa was washing the dishes, and soon she would be getting ready for bed. Weeks of watching and planning, and it all came down to this moment. The lights in the kitchen went out. June took a long, deep breath. Her heart raced. She counted to 20, knowing that that was how long it would take her to shuffle across the kitchen and out of sight. She could almost taste it. June pulled her father's Polaroid out of her purse.
Her plan was to snap a few quick pictures and run. That was the plan. It was so simple. Am I counting too fast? Too slow? No, I'll wait just another moment longer. Oh, please, just get out of the kitchen.
June had lost count. After one more deep breath, she rushed over to the garage door. The key wiggled in her hand. Or was it her hand that was wiggling? It took several tries before she was finally able to put the key into the lock.
What if she comes back outside right now? Don't think about it. Just get the door open and get inside the garage. That's all you have to do. Just open it.
The key turned, and June opened the door. June shrugged.
I'm guessing you know the rest of the story. I didn't find any bodies. I found that weird machine. I walked up to the machine and pressed the button. Like an idiot, I got inside the tube and pressed the other button. Next thing I know, I'm looking at Tall Darkling Smugly here.
Joey closed his mouth. He hadn't even taken a sip from the beer Vic had offered him. He was completely dumbfounded.
You actually thought Elsa was a killer? When two people disappear, it does look suspicious. Of course, now I know the truth.
Joey thought for a moment.
If you two are here, where's Hector, your father, Vic?
I never found him. When I got here, it was just me. Joey took a drink from his beer and asked June.
So, this was in the 80s sometime? When you went into the machine? October, 83, 5 years ago. Wait, 5 years ago? 83 wasn't 5 years ago, it was over 20 years ago.
What? Vic nearly shot out of his seat. 20 years? You mean I've been out here in space nearly 30 years?
Wow, I hadn't thought of that. How long did you think had gone by?
Hell, I've only been out here for 7 or 8 years. So 30 years has gone by on Earth?
I guess so.
How's my mom? Is she all right?
She seemed really depressed. She misses you and your dad. I think if she could just talk to either one of you and know you're all right...
I don't think that's going to happen, kid. Vic's face slackened and he ran a hand through his hair.
Why?
June pulled Vic back to a seat and changed the topic.
So, Joey, you're from the new millennium?
Yeah.
So, what's it like? Are there flying cars and stuff?
Vic jumped in too. Yeah, kid. Has man finally made contact with aliens?
Well, no and no. Wouldn't you know these things? Haven't you two even tried to go back to Earth? I mean, you are in a spaceship and all. Can't you just jump back there whenever you want?
The light in Vic's eyes went out. The same thing happened to June. It was as if a dream had suddenly been shattered. Kid, I'm going to level with you, but not until you finish a beer or two. Vic took a long drink off of his. Joey decided it may be in his best interest to drink the beer. Vic looked like he was about to explain how he'd run over the family dog or something. Joey drank. It was bitter and nasty, but he couldn't think of anything he'd rather be drinking. And drank. Vic wasn't such a bad guy. Perhaps with time they could become good friends, even if Vic was old enough to be his grandfather. And then drank another. June could be his mother. The silence was so heavy that everyone jumped when a top was popped on a fresh can of beer. Vic filled the silence.
My story, kid, is a little more complicated than June's here. Now, I showed up, and there were no friendly faces to help me out of a jam. Man, I had nothing here to help me out but myself.
Suddenly, a lot of growling and barking came over the central con.
Argmon detected a ship jumping to hyperspace just a half a light year behind us. My guess is that police cruiser did follow us. Thanks, Argmon. Keep us adrift for another 30 minutes, just in case they double back and attempt to trick us.
Argmon growled.
Eep, eep, eep.
The noise caused Joey's head to swivel and see something odd standing in the doorway. If he hadn't been drinking, he would have screamed in shock and disbelief. As it was, he felt mellow and relaxed. The odd something was about 2.5 feet tall with green, scaly skin. It had 3 arms that each ended in 3 fingers, as well as 3 feet with 3 toes each. The 3 eyes on its head, just above its green pig snout, were a little disconcerting, and Joey had to blink several times to make sure he wasn't seeing things. When it came into the room, Joey saw it also had a tail with 3 spikes on it.
Hey, Dexter. Come in here and meet Joey. He's new on the ship. Joey, this is Dexter. He's a triped from the planet Trifecta.
Eep, eep, eep.
That's about all you'll get out of him, kid. Like I said before, don't underestimate him. Dexter has helped us out on more than our share of jams before.
Hi, Dexter.
Eep, eep, eep.
Dexter's eyes didn't all blink in unison. Joey was certain it was the beer, but continued to stare. His head lolled to the side, and he could feel a dull ache in his side return.
Hey, kid, what time was it when you left? I mean, about?
I don't know, 8, maybe 9? Couldn't have been that late. I just crashed my bike in front of your mom's house. Broke a vintage Iron Butterfly album, too.
Man, that sucks.
Tell me about it. I didn't even get to listen to it.
Well, kid, I tell you what, you need to get some sleep. I want to tell you everything that's going on here, but you're in no condition. I thought the beer would just relax you, not put you to sleep. June's going to put you to bed. I'll get the ship to port, and then we'll all talk about this when we've had time to rest. How's that sound?
Sounds pretty good.
June, you don't mind, do you, babe?
June sighed. I guess not. Come on, Joey. The beds are close.
Eep, eep, eep.
If you want to keep an eye on the new guy, you're more than welcome, Vic said, and he left and went back to the cockpit. Joey struggled to his feet. He was about to sleep on a spaceship. He'd had beer, and now was about to go to sleep. How cool was that? He was going to wake up and be millions of miles away from home.
Wait a minute. I need to let my folks know I won't be home. They're going to worry.
Joey felt pangs of panic grip his chest. What would they think?
They would think he ran away. No, they'd find his bike and think that he was killed or kidnapped or worse. Well, what could be worse? He had to let them know that everything was all right. He just had to. Joey, you can't.
June put a hand on his chest before he could rush from the room.
Why not? We're on a spaceship. We can do anything, can't we? No, you need to get some sleep. Suddenly I'm not tired. I need to call my folks. I need to talk to them. It's not happening, Joey. I can't tell you why, because Vic hasn't told you why. Now just get into the bunk room and go to bed. No, I want to know what's going on. And you'll have to wait for Vic to tell you. Now get in there, or I'll have Dexter put you in there.
Eep, eep, eep.
He doesn't scare me.
Dexter moved. Joey didn't even know what hit him.
You've been listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information about this podcast and its author, please visit www.ofgnomesanddwarves.com. V&A Shipping is released under a Creative Commons Attributions-Only, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives Works 3.0. Feedback can be sent to jrmurdoch@ofgnomesanddwarves.com, or you can find me at Twitter or Facebook as J.R. Murdoch. There's a lot of podcast fiction out there. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this one.